Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship and praise. We thank you for the opportunity for us to give our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Be with us now as we listen to your preached word, and let us respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning. It comes from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the first six verses. Listen to these words by the Apostle Paul as he shares while in a Roman prison. Paul writes to the early day church as it relates to unity. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, United We Stand. United We Stand. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. United We Stand. In fact, I want those who are first responders, and we're truly thankful for all that you do, those of you who have retired or who are currently first responders, please stand at this time. And you see a list there right on the screen, but others, if you're a first responder, nurse, doctor, police officer, firefighter, you name it, let's give them a hand. Praise be to God. We thank you for your commitment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, we're grateful to have all of you here, and at the 8 o'clock service and they're coming back at the 11 o'clock service, we have our choir that's back. You know, this is fall now, and our choir is back and they're in full swing. Well, we had a member of the choir who shared with the entire staff as it relates to a question. Do you know your hymns? Do you know your hymns? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. Do you know your hymns? And they shared this litany, and I'm just going to read it exactly how it is here. It's pretty good, Joe. But it says, do you know your hymns? Dennis hymn. The Dennis hymn is, crown him with many crowns. Weather hymns, when the storm of life is raging, Lord, stand by me. The builder's hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The teller hymn, holy, holy, holy. How many golfers we have out here? Even if you pretend to play golf, just raise your hands real quick. All right, all right. The golf hymn, there's a green hill far away. The politician hymn, standing on the promises of God. An eye doctor hymn, open my eyes that I might see. An IRS agent hymn, I surrender all. A gossip hymn, don't pass me by. An electrician's hymn, Jesus is the light of the world. A shopper's hymn, ladies, sweet by and by. A real estate hymn, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. And a massage therapy hymn, he touched me. Well, they also wanted to share as it relates to those who travel. If you're going 55 miles an hour, just say, God will take care of you. If you're going 75 miles an hour, nearer, oh my God, to thee. If you're going 85 miles an hour, this world is not my home. If you're going 95 miles an hour, Lord, I'm coming home. And if you're going 100 miles an hour, precious memories, precious memories. All right, give them a hand. That's from the choir. All right. I want to share with you as it relates to United We Stand. And it comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul. As Paul is writing to the early day church. Now, mind you, Paul's location is in a Roman prison. He's in prison, but he's not of Rome. He's of the Lord. But he's writing to the early day church to encourage them to walk worthy of their calling. Now, if you want to see how it built up and where it started, look at Acts chapter 19, and you'll see how the Apostle Paul is writing to the early day church and reminding them as it relates to his letter to the church of Ephesians. He's writing them as it relates to being prepared, as it relates to the doctrine of the Lord, and how indeed they're to get ready for a new temple, and Jesus Christ will be the head of all humanity. You look at this book in the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, and you'll see how the Apostle Paul is sharing this doctrine with them. But it changes when he comes to chapter 4. In chapter 4, 5, and 6, it takes a shift. The Apostle Paul is no longer talking about the doctrine of the church. He's talking about God's people being the church, and they should be united. In fact, I want to remind you, there's a great philosopher. His name is Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown had several friends, but I want to talk about two of his friends. One was named Linus, and the other Lucy. Linus was home. Linus was watching television, and Linus was by himself, and he was having a good time. And out of nowhere, a Lucy appears. In her dominant personality, you don't know anybody who's like Lucy, do you? Don't raise your hands. Lucy comes in, and she says, Linus, turn that television channel now. Linus looked back at her and had enough courage, and he said, what gives you the right to just walk in and tell me to turn the television set? Lucy looked down at her hands. She started counting her fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She said, Linus, these five fingers, individually, they don't mean much. But when I put them together, they're well organized and powerful. Linus looked at Lucy and said, what channel would you like? What channel would you like? Well, that was an end of the story. Linus walks out of the room and he looks at his five fingers and he starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he says to his fingers, why you can't get together and be powerful like that? United we stand. United we stand. Look at the first bullet point of our sermon notes. The Apostle Paul shares a word as it relates to Christians walking in life. In fact, he shares this word walk 6 times. If you read Ephesians, and there's only 6 chapters, Paul places emphasis each time on the word walk. What's the purpose for walking worthy? The purpose for walking worthy is to keep the unity and the peace. Now, mind you, Paul is not talking about just walking as normally how we walk, nor is Paul talking about walking like a baby. If you would help me, and a perfect example, and Jan's looking at the baby. If you look in the back, Aaron's holding her baby, and Theo is coming along for the ride. That's the father. That baby, Jonah, that baby is not walking. That baby is being held. But one day, the baby is going to start walking. It's going to happen. Around 11 months or 12 months, that baby's going to start walking and walking and walking. And Lord have mercy when that baby get old enough to get an opinion, but that's a whole nother sermon. Amen. But the baby's going to be walking, and the baby's going to stumble and fall. But the Apostle Paul is not talking about a baby walking. He's talking about a Christian. A Christian is walking, and yet if we stumble, God's grace, just like these parents, God's grace is sufficient to continue to pick us up and help us to walk worthy of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. You never know It may be someone immediately after this service that needs your help, that needs my help, and we must be prepared. You never know when we have to help someone as it relates to just sharing with them a good word from God's Bible, an encouraging word to assist them on their journey. The Apostle Paul is saying, walk worthy of the calling of God to keep the unity and the peace. That word worthy, here's the next point, if you want to write it down. The word worthy means to balance the scales, to balance the scales. Sometime in life, you go through moments of difficulties, you go through moments of gloom and despair, you have bad moments, and yet you need somebody to come along and help you balance the scales, to share a good word, an encouraging word. This happened on September the 11th, 2001. It happened as it relates to a telephone operator and a passenger on a flight 93. His name was Todd Beamer. The operator on my left is Lisa Jefferson. Todd was on that flight 17 years ago. Perhaps some of you weren't even born. It's worth reading and knowing. Todd called for assistance. Lisa Jefferson was in Chicago. She was really the supervisor. And the call came to her. And she had a conversation with Todd. And Todd was sharing with her that he believed that someone had hijacked the plane. But he and another passenger, they were ready to just sacrifice their lives or whatever need be in order to save lives. But Todd wanted her to call his wife. His wife's name was Lisa. To call his wife and share that he loved her and loved their children. But he also wanted Lisa Jefferson to lead him in the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And then they concluded by reciting Psalms 23. You never know how God's going to move and need you to share a good word, to walk worthy of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the last words that Lisa Jefferson heard from Todd was, "Let's roll," as he was talking to another passenger. He not only saved the lives who are on the land, on the ground, but he also made a significant impact in Lisa Jefferson's life, who later on, 5 days later, were able to talk to his wife, Lisa, and share how her husband's life made the difference. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? As it relates to sharing a good word, to encourage others, as God has called us to walk worthy of the calling of God in Christ Jesus, because every believer has a gift. Every believer. Let me help you fill in the blanks with the next point. Every believer's gift is gifted. Look to your neighbor and say it with me. Every believer's gift is gifted. God has already gifted us with the gifts that we need to go forth and to share. Some people don't mind speaking in public. Some people don't mind singing in public as the praise band led us into the worship and praises. Some people do their best singing in the shower, and that's their gift. Some of you will get that on the way home. But God has gifted us in many different ways to touch the lives of God's people. The next point is this point. Every believer's gift has cost the greatest possible price. The greatest possible price. When Jesus Christ went on Calvary's rugged cross and Jesus Christ was pierced in his side and blood and water came out of his side in order to save you and me from our sins, he made the ultimate price. You're talking about a hymn song. Jesus paid it all. and all to him we owe. Every believer's gift has cost the greatest possible price. He's paid the price in full. Amen? Next point, if you want to write it down. Every believer's gift is an immediate purpose and an eternal purpose and a personal purpose. Every believer, God has gifted us to make a difference, an immediately response, an immediately purpose. God needs us to be prepared to share a good word immediately, to share it and sow it into the seeds and the lives of others. And then God wants us to do it not for our glorification, as the Apostle Paul was reminding the early day church, it has eternal dimension stamped on it. Because Apostle Paul wanted his hearers to know, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of seeing me in chains and shackles, regardless of knowing that I'm bound in a Roman jail, I'm not of Rome. I belong to God. Paul would say it another way, and you have it on the front cover of your bulletin. Look at Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 31st verse. It says what? If God is what? For us, then who can be against us? It's not only an immediate purpose, an eternal purpose, but it also is personal. It's also personal. We have to know God as our personal Savior. And God comes along and God plants people in our lives of significant purpose. And God will bless us if we receive the people that God places in our lives. You look at this couple here, getting ready to step out on faith, but yet they're not alone. Why? Because just like the Apostle Paul, God is with you, and God will sustain you and bless you. I'm going to ask the praise band to come because I'm getting ready to close, and I don't want to do all this crying because Leanne is crying. But I want to say something about Frankie and Leanne and their family, because for those of you who have not had a chance to be around them, they have a contagious spirit. One of them is more quieter than the other. Some of you probably already know. But they love Christ, and they love Christ's church and God's people. But it's a personal purpose. Who knows whom God has them getting ready to connect with and who they're getting ready to connect with. It's a clear reminder, just like the Apostle Paul, we must have an immediate response, an eternal response, and a personal response. And regardless of the challenges that we don't know about or unknown, we shall overcome, because God is on our side. Deep in my heart, I do believe, hallelujah, we shall overcome. We'll walk hand in hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.